Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
I'm not a real religious person, but I'm somewhat religious. And I'm just wondering if God's telling us he doesn't want us to drill offshore because it sure is setting back offshore drilling.
I understand totally what George thinks and what other people think about marriage being between a man and a woman. And it's a real reversal, really, to accept gay marriage.
But you do.
But I think we could, yeah.
You ever heard the expression, someone's so heavenly minded they have no earthly good? I always think that's such a bogus thing. It's the other way around. If you're heavenly minded, for the first time you actually become of some earthly good.
Washington jet drivers love Issues, etc.
It seems as though the evolutionist, every time there's something, a new explanation, a new discovery, they make claims which often, sometimes very quickly, appear to be overblown. What is as interesting as the claims that are made by evolutionists is the things they don't talk about. And there are a lot of things that evolutionists don't talk about, things that are out there in the record, the fossil record and elsewhere, that they don't talk about because they have no explanation for these things in their model. One of them was a gap in the fossil record regarding marine creatures. And now they think they have an explanation. We're going to talk about evolution and an ancient mass extinction of fish. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. On this Tuesday afternoon, the 18th of May, I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. David Menton of Answers in Genesis joins us for the first 10 minutes or so. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will follow that. We'll talk about the sexualization of girls. Hottest thing on YouTube, this little dance troupe of eight-year-old girls all dressed rather provocatively, dancing with great talent, but also provocatively, getting whoops and applause, and it's all over YouTube. And it is kind of a picture of what we're doing to our little girls, sexualizing them. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will be our guest in the last half hour. We'll talk about not only same-sex marriage, but open same-sex marriages, some calling for same-sex marriage or calling for those marriages to be open. We'll also talk about tithing with Molly in the last half hour. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. Dr. David Menton is a regular guest. He's a speaker for Answers in Genesis and professor emeritus of anatomy at Washington University in St. Louis. Dr. Menton, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Todd. Good to be here.
Why haven't we heard a lot from evolutionists about this so-called gap in the fossil record, especially with regard to marine creatures?
Well, actually, Todd, there's a lot of gaps, and the evolutionist doesn't always talk about them. Actually, you know, the biggest gap that isn't even mentioned in this article is the gap at 500 million years. They talk about the one at 360, where presumably half of all of the creatures living in the ocean became extinct. And then they talk about the one at 65 million years ago, where, you know, that not only the dinosaurs, but vast numbers, that perhaps the majority of all creatures are said to have become extinct. But the big one, the big gap is really what they call the Cambrian explosion. 500 million years ago, we go from essentially arguable single-cell creatures, bacteria, etc., to essentially instantaneously all of the phyla that we recognize on Earth today, including the chordates that we belong to, or I shouldn't say belong to, but are associated with. And so that great Cambrian explosion is mentioned, and of course evolutionists tell us to trust them. They've got explanations for how you come up with all the different phyla over very, very short periods of time. But now they're talking about a mere 15 million year gap, 360 million years ago. Prior to that, After the Cambrian explosion, they talk about the age of fishes. Well, there was a lot more than fishes, as they say. There were all of the phyla. But everything sort of drops out for 15 million years, and then, of course, has to re-evolve again. Once you lose it, you got to re-evolve it. And if you can believe in evolution once, hey, you can believe in it 10 times over. I mean, you just keep going on and having more evolution. And the thing that's so interesting is they naively suggest that all it took to evolve new things, like, say, us, is to have a big extinction and leave a gap, and naturally evolution will come in and fill that gap. Not exactly science, Todd.
How would someone who rejects the model of evolution and favors what is described, although it sounds incredible, what is described in the first chapters of the book of Genesis, a divine six-day creation, how would we account for the various gaps in the fossil record?
Well, first of all, there's a big difference in the way that a Bible-believing Christian would look at the fossil record and an evolutionist would look at the fossil record. Evolutionist, when he looks at the fossils, the so-called geological column, believes that he is looking at a sort of linear history of existence on Earth from the basement rocks of the Earth right up to the present time, and that these rocks are showing him the progressive changes that have happened on Earth over 500 million years. But as a Christian, when I look at the fossil record, I'm looking at the geological evidence of a catastrophic flood that God sent to destroy particularly humankind, but a good many other creatures on Earth, and repopulated with them with those that either survived the flood or were on the ark. So these are two radically different ways of looking at the record. I don't see the record as a sort of a glimpse of what the past life was like. If I were to do that, I would have to assume that 95% of all of the creatures that have ever lived on Earth are marine invertebrates. Because if you go out today, say on a crushed rock driveway, and you happen to find a fossil and you pick it up, if I were a betting man, I'd say that you picked up a marine invertebrate, some kind of a shellfish, a coral, or something like that, because that's 95% of everything. Bony creatures, which I'm looking out of my window seeing a cat right now and several birds out there, bony creatures make up a very, very small percentage of 1%, or a part of 1% of all fossils. So I think fossils are not a glimpse of the history on Earth over all of time, but a glimpse of what we would expect to see left over from a catastrophic global flood.
Okay, so if we look at the fossil record without, take off the evolutionist glasses and look at the column, the geological column, objectively, if we can, I mean, it's very difficult to take off those glasses, Dr. Menten, because it's kind of been drilled into our heads. What are we looking at in the geological column and the fossil record?
Well, one of the things we're looking at a process that is very, very rare today. For example, I see a squirrel running up a tree outside my window here. That squirrel's going to die eventually, and there have been a lot of other squirrels that have died before them, but I don't see any little squirrel bodies lying around. I don't see any little squirrel funerals. And specifically, I don't see any squirrel fossils in my backyard. In other words, when creatures die today, I don't care if they live in the ocean or they live in the lakes or they live in the land, when they die, they don't make fossils. Their bodies are quickly consumed by scavengers, by bacteria, etc., and they're gone. It's estimated that even a deer that dies as roadkill is simply not going to be there in less than a month. So how do we produce all these fossils? All of these creatures that are fossilized appear to have been suddenly and catastrophically buried in a flood. Scripturally, can we think of anything that could account for this sudden and catastrophic burial of all manner of creatures in a flood? Now, of course, the evolutionist prefers to think in terms of inland lakes and streams and sort of many inundations of the sea upon the land and what have you. You hear that all of the dinosaurs, all of which have been buried in water-deposited sediment, they say, well, they wandered too close to an inland sea or lake and, well, sort of fell in. I think it's a record of Noah's flood between you and I.
Finally, then, with only about 30 seconds, when someone says, did you see that story about evolution and the ancient mass extinction of fish and how they said it explains the rise of vertebrates and mammals and even us, how should we respond with about 30 seconds?
Well, the way I would respond is this. Extinction is one thing that evolutionists and creationists agree on. It really does occur. In fact, several years ago, I heard Peter Raven from the Missouri Botanical Garden say there's about 100 species a day becoming extinct, even in our time. But where is the simultaneous production of the new animals to replace these extinct animals? I think we have extinction. What we don't have anymore is the origin of fundamentally new creatures.
Dr. David Menton is a speaker for Answers in Genesis, professor emeritus of anatomy at Washington University in St. Louis. You can find out more about Answers in Genesis under the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Menton, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Doug.
When we come back, Dr. Jennifer Oback Morse will join us. We're going to talk with her about the sexualization of girls. If you spend any time on YouTube, you've probably seen this dance troupe, scantily dressed, provocatively dancing, getting cheers, 8 years old, every single one of them, or roundabout there. The sexualization of girls started, I'm talking about girls. I'm not talking about young women. Girls started with the sexual revolution, maybe even more or earlier. And that age at which we are comfortable with them being viewed as sexual objects is getting younger and younger and younger. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will join us, and I'm sure she has something to say about that in the middle part of this hour. Then Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will be our guest. We'll talk with her about same-sex open marriages and also tithing.
Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. Oh.
Are you looking for a church where you can receive the gifts of God in the gospel and the sacraments and in the church's historic worship with lively music? Then come to Hope Lutheran Church in South St. Louis. We're located on the corner of Brannan and Neosho Streets at 5218 Neosho. You can also reach us on the World Wide Web at www.hopelutheranstl.org and give us a call at 314-352-0014. There is hope in St. Louis.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Historic liturgy. Cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cup holder for your double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
You are. Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.